I'd like to write the title of the message on the board this morning. I've written on the board, Faith, a Condition of the Heart. I have a message this morning that I have a very strong desire both for myself and for the congregation, that we're able to internalize this message, to be able to get a hold of it. And so I ask this morning for your attention, as much of your attention as is possible, and your prayers. I feel like I'm in much need of your prayers today. I'd like to start with a very familiar account in the third chapter of Daniel. And because it is a familiar account about Nebuchadnezzar and the three Hebrew children, I'm not going to read the whole account for the sake of time, but I would like to read several of the verses. And I'm going to skip through a few of them. In the third verse it said that the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, they were all gathered together under the dedication of an image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It was man-made. And they all were called and stood before this image that had been set up. And it said that an herald cried aloud to everybody that was there. Put yourself there, if you will. A lot of peer pressure. A lot of people of influence. And the herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded. It wasn't asked, it was commanded. O people, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the music, that everyone is supposed to fall down and worship this golden image that the king hath set up. And whoever doesn't fall down and worship this image shall in the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Quite an edict, wasn't it? And the 16th verse, well, you know what happened. The music sounded. And the three Hebrew children didn't bow down. Because that's not where their heart was. And they didn't give in to something to honor and bow down and worship something that was outside of what they knew to be right and true. And so they remained standing. And they were called before the king, and he wasn't happy. And the 16th verse said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we aren't careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't have to think about this very long. If it be so that a God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But get a hold of these next few three words. But if not. But if not. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And so in the 21st verse, they took the three Hebrew children and they bound them with everything that they had on, their coats and their hats, it says, and their garments, and they cast them into the fiery furnace. And the 24th verse said that Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished after that happened, and he rose up in haste, and he spake, and he said unto his counselors, didn't we cast three men into the fiery furnace in the midst of the fire? And they said, that's true, O king. That's what you say is right. There were three of them. And he answered and said, but I see four men that are loose and they're walking in the midst of the fire and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. It seems like that no matter how many times we read this passage, it's dramatic, it's stirring, it's challenging, it's encouraging, isn't it? And this is a true account that we're reading. This wasn't a parable. And these men are very alive today. And the Jesus that walked with them in the fire is still alive today. And he's still at work. And it is a Jesus that I want to serve. That is a God that I want to bow down to. That is a Lord that I want to give the whole of my life to. And I don't want to hold anything back from Him. And we read in the New Testament, and we've read there different times, where Jesus outlined His great love. Outlined His Father's great love for us. And He made the point that if we would only but come and give the whole of our heart and our life to Him, that He wouldn't cast us out, and that He would be our God, and that we could be His people. And after Jesus described the love of His Father and His willingness to take us in, Jesus said something that was also stirring to me and sobering. Because He said, nevertheless, even though my Father is a God of love, and even though He stands by and He's willing to take in all that come to Him, nevertheless, will I find faith on the earth when I return? When I return, will I find a people? Will I find individuals with purpose and determination and living a life of godly faith? A people that from their hearts say, but if not. But if things don't go according to the way that I would desire in my flesh, if things go in a way that I don't understand, and if things go in my own life and in the lives of those around me and in the world around me, and if my prayers aren't answered in a way that I would desire my prayers to be answered, if not, I will not bow down to the idols that are set up by man. I will not give in to uncertainty. I will not serve other gods. I will choose the one true God, and I'll serve Him regardless of whatever happens in my life. I'll trust Him that He's a God of love, and that He knows, and that He cares, and that He hears, that His ways are above my ways, and that He still thinks good thoughts to me and has an expected end for me for those that put their trust in Him. Don't you want to be in that number? When the Lord comes back, don't you want to be in that number? That has faith that emanates from your heart, from the very depths of your heart and your being, regardless of what's going on around you. Genesis 15 and 6 says that Abraham, and I don't want to read this too fast. I want us to get a hold of what it says. Abraham believed in the Lord. It didn't say that Abraham believed and had confidence in his own works. It didn't say that Abraham believed in the consensus of the masses or the General Assembly. It didn't say that Abraham believed in those things that were set up to worship that everybody else fell down and worshiped. It said that Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You believe in the Lord today? We are so quick to say yes. Yes, of course, we believe in the Lord. Do we believe in the Lord more than anything else? Do we bow down to Him first and foremost? Or are there times that we bow down to other things? That the Lord would rather us bow down to Him in place of. Did you know that having faith in God is not determined as being present and alive in our lives simply by following or adopting expected actions or lifestyles? I'm going to say that again. Having godly faith in God is not established by just following or adopting expected actions or lifestyles, perhaps even those that involve sacrifice, where maybe we point to tangible, visible things and say, see, I have faith in God. See, I do this and I don't do that. I seek help for my body in these things, but I don't seek help for my body in these other things over here. See, I adopt this lifestyle and I don't adopt this lifestyle over here. And on and on. And point to those things as evidence, as concrete evidence of our faith in God. And yes, certainly, that decisions that we make in life, in our minds, and in our hearts translate into actions and lifestyles. And yes, those things often and hopefully are a result of a faith that we have deep inside of us, a result of the faith that we have. But did you know that we can miss, folks, a blessed experience of faith in Jesus Christ. If we give more attention and fixate more on lifestyles and actions and the acceptance of man and the acceptance of our brothers and sisters, perhaps places of sacrifice in our lives that we know that we're making, if we give those things more attention and more focus and place more value on those things than we do in establishing and growing our relationship with Jesus Christ. Faith is intended to be a privilege. Faith is intended to be a wonderful blessing that is based on something that's real, that's not a blind faith and just a hope that maybe everything will come together like it's supposed to. But faith in God is intended to be a wonderful blessing that we have as people, to trust in a God that is greater than we are, that knows all things, that loves us, that cares about us, that knocks on our heart's door. I want to get a hold of that kind of faith. The Lord wants us to have a kind of faith where we follow after Jesus Himself, where each day we're living to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, where we're living to be able to have His presence dwell in us, and to be able to have peace in our hearts because we're following the voice of Jesus, of the Lord, where we live our lives, where that's who we're seeking to know and to understand and to give ourselves to more than anything else. More than bowing down or giving ourselves to living in a way that just gains us the acceptance of those that are around us. And I want to be accepted by those around me to a point. I want to be accepted by my brothers and sisters. I want you as a congregation to accept me and believe in me. But you know what I want more than anything else? I want to live my life so that Jesus has my heart and that He knows that and that I know that and that I give Him everything above everything else. I don't want to be lulled into a place where I live life, and if I can say it this way, bow down to the things that give me some type of spiritual security that I point to, that are visible and tangible, and that I feel justify my life more than seeking a relationship and keeping it alive and hearing the voice of Jesus telling me each day, this is the way, walk ye in it. I want that to be at the root of the actions that I take in life. I want that to be at the root of the lifestyle that I have. Always. I want Jesus to be behind it. If we are to be of strong faith, we are going to have to be consistently investing in a relationship with Jesus Christ, not just following a religious standard operating procedure. You know, a lot of places of business and work, and a lot of you that are here today are familiar with what's called standard operating procedures, SOPs. And you go to work and they give you a task to do and they hand you a standard operating procedure. And it tells you what you're supposed to do. Step one, do this. Step two, do this. Step three, do this. And if they're good standard operating procedures, they might outline consequences of deviation. If you go outside of the SOP, this is what can happen. Or if things go unexpected, this is what can happen. And if it does that, then do this. And there can be really good SOPs out there. Folks, we are not following a religious standard operating procedure. That is not what God wants from us. This is not. The Bible is not some just words on a page, standard operating procedure that we just follow and go through where there's no life. God and His Spirit and the Word of God, this Word is the essence of life. And it speaks of a relationship all through it that God wants to have with us. And when I go to work and I see these hundreds of standard operating procedures, nowhere in them do I read where it speaks of making sure that above all else, develop a relationship from your heart. Are you following me? And yet, if we are not very careful, we can start living our Christian lives as if we're following a standard operating procedure that is void and absent of life and fire in our hearts and a relationship with God, and where we get up and we go through the day and we're listening for the voice of Jesus. Where we're investing in a relationship with God. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be found in that place. I don't want to be one of the five foolish virgins that are found on the wrong side of the door when the Lord comes back, void of oil, because I allowed myself to get drawn into a false sense of spiritual security, trusting in things above trusting in Jesus and His blood, trusting in the relationship that's alive that I have with Him. Absent that relationship, we can find ourselves still trying to live under the law. And wondering why we don't have any fulfillment in life, spiritually. We get up in the morning and we pull out our standard operating procedure that's this thick, and our eyes cross and our head swims, and it just seems so cumbersome, and how can I ever do this? But I've got to do this to miss hell and to make heaven. And we get up and it's a big load and it's a big weight, and it just seems like an almost impossible thing, but we have to do it if we're going to make heaven and miss hell. And so we start plugging through it and we go through life, and then we can start adapting and adopting some of these things to our life, and then we look at those and we find some satisfaction and spiritual security in that and start feeling like, well, maybe I'm okay. And yet all the while, something that's missing. We don't feel alive. We don't feel like we have fire. And we're not really sure about what our personal relationship looks like. And God and Jesus seem like they're a long ways away, as opposed to right here with me. We struggle showing Christ to other people. And we're left spiritually unfulfilled. Faith in God is intended to be something so much more than that. God wants us to have a faith that makes us smile. A faith that gives us joy. A faith that gives us hope. A faith that has life. A faith that is in touch with God and His Spirit. And the Word, you know that so many of the tangible, visible, outward things that just by themselves, with nothing else, just by themselves, and maybe they're good and they're necessary. They're the types that the Pharisees found spiritual justification in. Some things that were good. And yet their hearts were far from God. Yes, the Bible teaches a careful life. And I've said many times that the Scriptures, the Word of God, has spiritual application that applies to how we live our daily lives, and that yes, it is going to affect our actions, and yes, it's going to frame our lifestyle, and yes, it's going to bear fruit that other people see. I believe in that, and I preach from this pulpit and teach from that lectern where we have spent time talking about and reading in the Scriptures what it visibly looks like to yield our members, our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our hands and our feet as members of righteousness and not unrighteousness. Because the Bible teaches us that. And it does result in how we live our lives. And faith without works is dead. And I fully, completely believe that. But brothers and sisters, it is also so important that we understand and experience the fullness of faith that God wants for us in life. That is a faith that includes His indwelling Spirit that is alive in us, where we do commune with Him, where He is our all in all, where He is who we bow down to more than anything else in life. And that it's personal. And that alive faith is indeed what is at the root of our actions and our behaviors and our lifestyles, rather than other people that imprint and impose, maybe with well-meaning hearts, behaviors and actions and lifestyles upon our lives that may not be in our heart at all. Did you know it's possible to live our lives in ways that doesn't come from our hearts? Or maybe it's in our hearts to the extent that our conscience has been formed as the Jews had their conscience formed from little up and struggled so much to understand and get a hold of the light of the truth and grace and something that went beyond their actions. I don't want to find myself in the place where I'm just living, doing things that are good things and don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to have the kind of faith that allows me personally to trust when the way is uncertain. I want to have a faith that's alive that causes me to follow when I don't feel like it. And yet I know in my heart it's the way of truth. And I'm going to go that way regardless. Having settled faith in the Lord is a faith where we can be at peace with God even when others disagree with how we're living. Sometimes our brothers and sisters may not understand or may not be in agreement with the path that one of us may take. But I want to have the kind of faith that is centered on Jesus Christ and His Word and His voice that's alive in my soul, that I can be at peace with God even in the midst of those that are not in agreement with something in my life. I want to have the kind of faith where I am willfully willing. See, there's different types of willing. You can be grudgingly willing because you don't like the consequence that may come if you're not willing. You're grudgingly willing. I want to be willfully willing because of the faith that is of the heart to lay down or set aside a liberty that I may feel like I have in the Lord. Or have the kind of faith where I keep to myself something that God has revealed to me personally and be at peace with it rather than charge forward with a carnal liberty and sometimes carnal sacrifice to show a weaker brother or sister why I can do that and my reasons for it, but not with the right attitude of heart. I want to have the kind of faith where it's good enough for me to have the blessing of the Lord upon my life. I'm not talking about going off on my own. I'm not talking about it's not important to be in fellowship with other people. Don't misunderstand me. My message is that we get a hold of a faith that is about a relationship with Jesus Christ and His Word more than anything else. There's a verse in the 14th chapter of Romans that said, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God." Did you catch what that said? Paul said, "Do you have faith? Hast thou faith? Do you have faith? Have it to thyself And he didn't say, period, have it to thyself. No. He's talking about a faith that included God with thyself and before God. Happy is he. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. He wasn't talking about, happy is the man that allows himself to do whatever he wants to do and doesn't condemn himself. That's not what the Scripture is talking about. The Lord is never going to give us space to operate and say, and give us light, maybe better say it that way, that is outside of the Word of God. God doesn't do that. But there are times that He reveals to us truth by His Spirit that is confirmed by the will of God. And He wants us to be able to live and be happy and be at peace and not condemn ourselves for living a life that is consistent with the voice of His Spirit and the Word of God. And so He said, hast thou faith then? Be at peace with what God has revealed to you by His Spirit that is consistent with the Word of God. I want to have that kind of faith. And I want it to be a faith of love where I always honor the conscience of other people, recognizing that the Lord is working with them too. Folks, this morning, strong faith speaks of a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. There are acts of faith, and there are enduring people of faith. There are acts of faith, and there are enduring people of faith, and they are not always one and the same. We can have an act of faith. We might adhere to something or a lifestyle or a thing, but we may not have godly faith on a day-to-day basis. The Pharisees, again, and the Jews were an example of that. They had faith in the way that they lived in some ways, but they didn't have a godly faith. Abraham, on the other hand, he had a relationship with God and he believed in the Lord. And he followed it and he trusted in it and he rested in it. And the Scripture said that it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The Lord is looking for a people that live by godly faith, where faith cometh by hearing, and as Romans 10 and 17 says, hearing by the word of the Lord. The Lord is looking for a people that have a relationship with Him. The Lord is looking for a people that live their lives responding real time to the voice of His Spirit. The Lord is looking for a people that are at peace with the faith that they have in Him. The Lord is looking for a people that have a faith that may take you outside of the expected action, where we are willing to go to the right or to the left or to stop or to back up or to speak a word to this soul that we weren't expecting or to give to this over here or to admonish over here or to give up this thing in our life that maybe nobody expects us to or maybe to allow something in our lives and be at peace with it because the Lord has revealed to us by His Spirit and His Word that He's pleased with that. I want to have that kind of faith. Maybe we'll close this morning, and in summary, I want to once again say that people of established and godly faith have an active, alive relationship with God and His Spirit and His Word and seek to understand more of both of them. And that faith is not solely defined by an action or a lifestyle or some sacrificial thing that we have given up in life that we can point to. Faith is a condition of the heart. And because of that, people of faith give themselves to investing in an active, alive, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. May the Lord give us understanding of these things, that we be men and women of faith from the heart that's alive, that we may be dependable servants of the Lord. Amen.